Welcome to UEV, keeping a personalized experience, virtualized and physical environments from lab deployment through enterprise rollout. I'm Aaron Ruckman, Senior Program Manager. I've been working on UEV now for about 18 months or so. That's almost since the inception of UEV, basically version 2. I was there for the last part of version 1. Today, and if you're here for UEV, great. If you're not here for UEV, stick around. Feel free to see what else we have today for you to learn. What we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about what's new in UEV. We're going to go through planning and VDI from, we're going to talk about how to roll out UEV in planning, VDI, and then how to take that and put that into your golden image. We're also going to talk about how to manage UEV via Configuration Manager. And we'll briefly touch on other options. In the deck that I have, that you'll have up on the site, I also have plenty of other ways and other slides and information there, so feel free to check that out after the session. What I want you to take away today, well, first off, let me ask this. Who in here is relatively familiar with UEV? Raise your hand. Okay, good, excellent. Who in here, you're here learning about UEV for the very first time? All right, so those that understand UEV, bear with us. We're going to go through and talk about the value prop of UEV for about 5 minutes. We're going to go through a whirlwind tour of what UEV is, and then we'll dig into deeper aspects of UEV. So what is UEV? The value of UEV really is you can take your experience, or your users can take their experience, on any device that they're on, via whether it's physical or virtual, whether the app is physical or virtual. It doesn't matter to UEV. So your users get a consistent experience across any device they're on. One of the annoying things that happens often, we've heard, is that when your users have to go to and open up Outlook again on a brand new device, they have to configure it, and wouldn't it be awesome if those settings went with your users? The second thing that we do is that we want to make your lives, the IT pros out there in the audience, which I think is most of you, your lives easier by making this experience come to life without a lot of having to do a lot of extra work, a lot of extra overhead, a lot of extra things. It just happens very fluidly, very simply. And to do that, to accomplish that, we want you to integrate, we want to integrate into tools, into processes, into things that you already have and that you're already familiar with in your enterprise. So how does it actually work? What actually happens is that you install an agent on a box, on a client, and what happens is that that agent then is configured to know about a central file share. We call that file share the setting storage path location. That file share then is the central repository for all of your settings. And so as users make a change on a laptop or on a slate or on an RDS app or on a VDI session pool, and regardless of whether the app is MSI-based or AppV-based or virtually based, those settings then, we detect what settings change on the front end, we detect what happened on the back end, we then write out the diff, and then we update and upload those settings to the central storage repository, which then can be downloaded by any other machine that user might have access to. We do this based on triggers, and some of the triggers that we use are log on, log off, app load, app unload or exit, disconnect, connect, and login or lock and unlock. We'll also talk about a special trigger that happens for one of the ways you can configure, which is the default, which is a heartbeat, a scheduled task that will automatically take the settings differences and push them up in a trickle-up and trickle-down manner. Every 30 minutes, that's configurable. You can set that up how you want to because it's a scheduled task. I put this slide in here just for your information. We're going to go through most of this. The things on the server share for the setting storage location, we're going to talk about those in depth today. We're not going to go in as much depth into how to generate an application template. However, I did put in the appendix lots of resources that way you can do that. You can also go back to previous tech ed. We also have good TechNet documentation out there that can step you through this. And we'll have other things coming online as well. So before we go any further, we are constantly innovating, driving innovation into UEV. So today we are announcing UEV 2.1 beta is publicly available at this link, aka UEV-UE-V21 beta. That goes out to our Microsoft Connect site, and you can fill out a survey and download the latest bits and start playing around with them in your labs. What does this bring you? What value does this bring you today? We actually, in the past, didn't have Office 2013 support. Thanks to you who came and told us, Aaron, you know what? We need Office 2013 support. We drove Office 2000 support in January up into our UEV community gallery, and today we, in this version, we actually shipped those 2013 templates in the product. Now, those templates also give you some additional features and functionality. We also heard loud and clear that in the past, we would roam or synchronize the Outlook signature data, but we didn't roam the two little drop-down boxes, right? So that way you could have your data roam, and then, but then you still had to go in and on the different machines you were on and check which device you want or which signature you wanted to associate that account to. In this release, we've actually made it seamless. So now you just set that up one time, and it roams for you without you having to do anything. Another thing that we did, how many of you out there have Office 365 or plan to have Office 365 soon? Excellent. So that's about half the group out there. Those of you who have Office 365 settings, those they actually roam about a handful or so of really critical, vital settings for them. And those settings actually roam in a different way through OneDrive for Business. And if you have that turned on, UEV was fine with that. Go ahead, that's fine. We actually support that. UEV will get out of the way, and Office 365 will roam those settings. If you don't have Office 365, or if you have turned those synchronization settings off, UEV will come in and sync many of those settings, and so that way you get some benefit from that. We also heard from many of you that you wanted us to do credentials and certificates. And so this has been a kind of a thing we've heard off and on. Today we're announcing that now we support credentials and certificates. In the next slide, I'll actually show you what that support means. We also added about 35 new Windows settings to make us more in parity with Microsoft account. We also now, we also heard from our universities. How many of you are in universities? Excellent. Well, for you, what we did, we heard from a few of you that, you know, Aaron, we love UEV, and we love the idea, but our professors want to use a Microsoft account to get to their music, their photos, their Microsoft Store apps, and we need you to be able to handle that for us. In 2.0, we made a deal with MSA that if there was an account linked, UEV would just get out of the way. Today, you can do with the new version is we will, if you have the synchronization turned off for MSA, and I'll show you how that works in a demo, if you have that turned off, either via policy or the user goes in and turns it off themselves, UEV will step in and start to sync the operating system's settings and the Windows Store application settings by default. Now, if you have, regardless of whether you have that turned on or off, UEV will always synchronize the classic applications or Win32 applications that you have templates registered for and synchronizing. Not finally, but the last thing we're going to talk about today is backup and restore. So we heard from you that, you know, Aaron, it's great that you have this ability to roll back settings back to the original, but that doesn't help me if I've got a user that's been out and has had a machine for 2 years and he's made changes, and he wants to roll back to a setting that was like a month ago. Can you help us with that? And so today the answer is, yes, we can. What we've done is that we've given a heuristic, and the way that the heuristic works is that if you allow the settings to settle down over a certain amount of time, such that we know that like the last four or five or six times you've opened the app and not changed this particular setting, then we say, oh, this must be a new LKG. And so we write that LKG and we keep that around. So that way, 2 years from now, you don't have to go all the way back to the original, but you have a middle place that's fairly recent that you can store your settings to. And that's part of our multi-version rollback. Finally, we heard from many of you as well that when you go and you do put out a new PC for a user, so you do a PC recycle, some of the time what happens is that you give the user a new PC. Perhaps this happens for you. And when you give the user the new PC, he says, thanks, sticks it underneath his desk, and then he continues to use the old PC and the new PC for a certain period of time. Typically, I've heard numbers from 3 to 6 to 9 months, until he feels confident that his machine is the same state as the one before, and he has all of his settings, all of his application, all of his data off. We now support this concept of backup and restore. So if you have, and I'll talk about that in two slides more in more depth. So that is UEV 2.1 beta. It's announced today. Go get it. Very cool. Let's talk about credentials in more depth. So it is an opt-in experience to roam your credentials. We don't turn that on for you automatically. You have to go and opt in. That I put up the PowerShell commandlet so that way you can see what you actually have to do. Or you can go in and check it in our company settings center. I'll show you what that means in a demo in a second. If you're interested to find out exactly what we roam, we actually put up the paths that we roam. Mostly Windows credentials and certificates. Anything that's stored in CredMan under Windows, we will roam. We'll roam those between Windows 7 to Windows 8.8 plus. We'll do Windows 8 to 8. So it works fairly well. The credentials stored in other locations that are not here, we won't support. So if you have a credential, map drive, for example, is a great example. It tosses a credential in. Your Outlook credential gets tossed into this cache as well. Anything that goes into there, we'll synchronize. Backup and restore. So if that computer, when it was put underneath the desk, has the same, or let's say you have to replace it, so it's a swap out. Let's say you dropped your PC in the pool. What will happen is when you get the same machine with the same user with the same domain, any settings that are up in this folder will automatically come down, and they will restore the machine to the machine as if they were backed up. If you want to do a manual restore, that is possible too. So that means you have the two machines underneath the box, you make the user log in, he has a login script, you call that PowerShell commandlet that I have up there. Simple, you just tell him which machine you want. He has to specify the same, it'll be clear when I do my demo, but it's the domain with the machine name. And what'll happen is that computer settings will be copied across and they'll sync down the very first time that the user uses the applications, or the first time they're synchronized down. Then his machine will have the same state as that other machine, and then they'll slowly diverge as he uses the products naturally. Now, how we do this is through a process which we call, it's a new concept called template profiles. It's a very interesting and powerful concept. So if you think about the roaming profile, is a set of profiles we supported by default, 1.0, 2.0, up to now, and it's our default. So those will roam between all computers, regardless of whether, they'll just always roam. You can explicitly change a template from being in the roaming profile to being in the backup profile through that PowerShell commandlet, and that will then enable you to do things like, for example, we heard that some people might not like their desktop background to roam across all their computers. Most are okay, but there are some that they really would like to have customized. For example, in the insurance business or in the real estate business, you don't want to have your family picture on your business laptop. It's just something that they might not want to do. So you can keep your business laptop backed up with a very professional picture for your desktop background. And then for your all the rest of your machines that you might not might be more personalized, you can put whatever image you want there. The third type of profile we have is this profile called backup only. Now, the backup only profile is a type of profile that can't be moved into either the backup or the roaming profile set. The things that go into that type of template are things, for example, in Office, in Excel, you have processors, right, that you want to set for the number of processors that you want to use to process the information that's going through Excel. If you have a VM that could have one or two processors, if you have your heavy desktop, it could have 8, 16, 32, depending on the size of your desktop processing. Laptop could have 4 to 8. So you don't want that setting to roam, but you do want it to be backed up. So that way, if you ever restore that, or if you ever lose that machine, drop it in a pool, that setting in particular is able to come back, especially if you configure that setting to be not the default, back onto the box. So this is an architectural diagram of how the backup works. We went over the settings. So it basically works just like every other setting storage template. We trigger off of triggers. We go and we look at the Windows settings. We look at the Windows 8 app list. If you want to restore, we'll restore anything that's in that backup folder. Anything that's roaming will automatically get restored onto the box anyway. So that set is like a superset of the things that you're going to back up. Then we have profiles. We talked about that. Backup settings. They are automatically uploaded and downloaded just like every other package. So when you cross a synchronization trigger, we talked about those already, then those will go up to the central storage path. Now, the difference is that the way that we isolate is through a folder. And that folder really is machine specific with the username, the machine name, and the domain. Great, so let's show this in action then. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about my demo box. It's actually a very powerful box. It's not one of the thin gym boxes you see a lot of the people have. It's actually a pretty hefty laptop. I think I have 24 gig in there of RAM, and it's pretty big. What I have on there, though, is a DC. I have a CM box. We're going to show that later. My actual physical OS is a Windows 2012 for my VDI host. On the VDI host, I'm going to show RDS applications and a VDI client. It has a Win8 VM and a Win7 VM. So I'm going to show you that it works across all of them. Now, also, on some of those operating systems, I have Apple AppV Office, and some I have regular Office. I also have AppV Adobe installed, as well as regular Adobe. It's totally seamless to you. You use the same templates to roam the settings across both. It's pretty cool. So let's get into this now. So, nope, doesn't matter the version of AppV. We support 4.6 and 5.0. Good question, thank you. So now we go into, can everyone see that? Perfect. Okay, so we talked about earlier, it's all about your Outlook signature, isn't it? So what I need is I need some help in describing an Outlook signature, the name of what we should do. So we'll do a new signature here. What's a name that we should add? Test. Test? There we go. Test is a little boring, though. Can we? Maybe there's test something. What should we call it? Test Tech Ed. Test Tech Ed. There we go. Perfect. And now we'll make it so that way you guys can actually see it. And what should we say? And what should be our signature? Sorry? TT. There we go. Anything else we want to put in the signature? Sorry, can you say that again? Bring back MMS. That seems to be a consistent thing here. I'm getting that. I get it. So I'll just decide for a second. I got 90 minutes to present UEV and MMS. I get 75 minutes with you today. I feel your pain. I have to really run fast through some of this. So, I forgot to do one thing. the cool part. So here we have, we've set up my new message now to be test tech ed, test tech ed. I say go. And so this is on a VDI session pool box. I forgot to mention that. So this is, I'll show you what I did. All I did is go into my VDI session pool. I click on go. It then remote it in. So I'm on this thin client with VDI session. I'm going to actually, within my VDI session, open up Outlook from an RDS server. So this is a remote app. So I'm going to remote app into Outlook, and we're going to see if my signature roamed back into my remote app. Now, while that's opening up, it takes just, and I think, okay, got it. So while that's opening up, I just want to show you the company setting center. This is new for UEV 2.0, and you'll notice that credentials are not checked by default. So this is the default set of things. You'll notice that the other thing that we do is that we go ahead and show all of the Windows Store apps that are possible on this Windows 8.1 box to go ahead and roam. We only roam by default the default inbox apps. So I have a few extra apps here that I've installed. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. Okay, so we're here now. So now I'm gonna go into my options, mail, signatures, and look at that, it roamed without me having to do anything. And if I go out, I didn't touch anything. I go and I do a new mail, there it is. So if your user doesn't know that he did it, it just automatically comes in and it automatically does that. So the question was the profile created on the box already? The answer was yes, the profile was already there. But even if it wasn't, the settings will come down after the profile gets created, and the profile doesn't get nuked by that. We actually will pull it down in the right way. It's a good question. Okay, let's move on. So I want to show you that it doesn't work just with Windows 8 or a remote app running on Windows 2012 K server, but we also work with Windows 7. So here's a Windows 7 box with Outlook, and I believe that for, also you should note that my Outlook here was also AFID, right? Whereas my Outlook on my Win2K 12 box was MSI. And also my Outlook here is also MSI. So it doesn't matter. UEV will roam across whatever you throw at it. Here are the signatures. And there you go. See that? I can also go and do a new mail again. I could have done it beforehand. That'd probably been a little more effective, but there you go. Okay. So that is Office 2013. Now, let's talk about credentials and how those work. So credentials, this is CredMan. How many of you are familiar with CredMan? Excellent. So Credential Manager is really kind of a cool Microsoft technology. What it does is that it's a secure vault where all of your credentials are triple, or it's very, very secure down, double authenticated or double encrypted. And so when you put your passwords into this vault, then you can then use them so that we don't have to keep logging into websites, into Outlook, into Link, into other places. And so typically what you can do is you can go and create a credential by mapping a network drive and saying, I want to go and use a different user to log into that map drive and then save it. But just because it's a little bit easier to show, I'm just gonna show that I can create it this way. So DC1 is my domain controller. And I'm just gonna put administrator with the admin password. And so you'll see that I stored this off today. Now, because this is an OS setting, in order for it to roam, you actually have to log off the machine. And so I'm going to do that now. And I'm going to bring up my Windows 8.1 box. UEV is now synchronizing the OS settings. It's now logging off very fast. And the other cool thing is that we're going to talk about planning in just a minute. Notice how it was very fast. It was only a 2 second or less log off and log on. We don't block if you under certain circumstances, which is the default. So it's very fast. Here I'm logging on to UEV, or here I'm logging on to a Windows 8.1 box. And I'm going to go to my credential manager. And that is way too small, so we'll make it a little bit bigger. Here's my Windows passwords, and you can see that I just barely created this today. Right? So now, just to show that there's no smoke and mirrors here, let's remove it. And we go back to our Windows 7 box, you'll see that it actually is. Now, for all of you who are in the universities or EDU, or you want to have your users have the ability to roam their, to be able to use MSA, what I have on this box, on this Windows 8.1 box, you'll notice that up here, I can go ahead and synchronize any Windows setting or any Windows 8 store application. But if I go in to my OneDrive settings, and you'll notice that I have my local account synchronized here. If my OneDrive will work. Let's try that again. And it's being unresponsive. VMs always work, right? All right, well, let me go ahead and try and hard reboot this guy and see if that works. We'll come back to this one. There we go. And then we'll turn it right back on again. While that's booting up, I will show on the Windows 7 box, we'll come back to show you about that. But basically, what happens is if you synchronize, if you turn that synchronization setting to the off, and you have UEV installed, UEV then will start synchronizing, which is the state that I showed you originally. The state I was just about to show was what happens if you turn the synchronization on for MSA, then we go into the state where UEV doesn't allow you to synchronize the settings. Okay, so let's talk about backup and restore. Let's see, is this guy up again? Oh, he is. Let's quickly go and see if we can get this one to work. We'll give it a second here while that's going. Watch it in the background. Okay, so I have, so I can do a get UEV template, and I'm gonna take calculator. Here's my calculator. You'll notice that right now it's set to the backup profile. If I go and I get my WordPad, you'll see that it's set to roaming. So the way that you set it to backup is you do set dash UEV template profile, and you give it an ID. So we're going to set WordPad to the backup. And then you have to give it a profile. We're going to give it a backup. Silly me. It helps when you give it the right ID. There we go. All right. So now what we're going to do is we're going to open up our calculator, and we're also going to open up our WordPad. We're going to do change it so that way you can see that there's something here. Let's do a basic so that way you know that we didn't roam it. And now what we're going to do is we will now show you where that actually went. So if we go to UEV, on your local disk, this is helping you to troubleshoot now a little bit deeper. We're going to go a little deeper now into UEV guts. We have in the username, app data, local, Microsoft UEV is the folder. In there you have two significant folders. The first one is a machine name. In this one is the local, current, and original, and LK version of all of your settings. So in this case, we have Microsoft Calculator 6. We have a current, we have initial. And so, therefore, we have this concept of, okay, this guy was changed at 11:22 on this box, but not on this one. Then we have this concept. So what happens then is that 1.0, between 1.0 and 2.0, in 2.0 we created this idea of a cache. So in 1.0 you had to have CSC installed, right, folder redirection, in order to make this happen. In 2.0 we realized that we needed to handle this ourselves, so what we ended up doing was we created this concept of a settings cache, so this local sync folder. So before, the settings, always, you always had to have an always on connection or synchronized to your offline folders directory. Today what we do is we use a local synchronization cache, so that way your users can go offline or on. They can take their laptop home, they can go away for 6 months, they can come back, and when they synchronize again, they won't lose their settings, because this is like a set storage path for them, specific for that machine. And you'll notice that we just duplicate it. In this, though, we only contain one package. You'll see that it's 2 kilobyte packages as well. Okay. So, what ends up happening then is that on the back end, Larry, in storage path location, we go in here, and you'll notice that we have a calculator. So this is the data that's going to be flowing for everywhere we have a calculator as part of the roaming profile. And these settings will go with you. When you have this folder, you'll notice that we have the computer name at domain. You'll notice that now we have a settings, which just barely got updated here. And those are the settings that will be backed up and none others. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to simulate the fact that we have a setting storage path to my Windows 8.1 box. And so now I'm just going to nuke this folder. And I'm going to go back into my Windows 8.1 box. And hopefully it's working now. I bet it is. So we'll run over here. I'll finish the other demo, and then I'll come back to the one I'm working on now. So here's my sync my settings. It's turned off. I'll turn it on. So now OneDrive is controlling the synchronization of settings for Windows 8 apps and operating system apps. And you'll notice that I'm notified by that if I go into my Windows settings. That should have worked. It is a beta. There we go. Okay, I must have had it turned on somehow. There you go. So now it's showing that your desktop settings and some application settings are managed by your Microsoft account. Click here. That takes you here. I can now turn it off. And when I go back to my desktop, I'll close my Settings Center. Then I'll reopen it up. Let's try again. Some latency here. Little bit of latency in that setting. There we go. And now it's showing you that you can now manage them again. Now, let's go and look to see what happens. Let's go and manually restore your settings. So we can go and we can say, okay, I want to go and restore. UEV, backup packages, and I say machine name, and now I can go easily back to here and grab this machine name, and what's going to happen, we'll notice, is that up here, we will create this same guy, and now we have a calculator 6, which it didn't have before. We'll have all the settings that now were up there. So now if we launch our calculator, it now has the same settings as what we did before, because those are propagated. Typically, there's a hard boundary, and that's totally isolated, so you won't see that. So if I go down to here, my calculator is different, because it's taking it from the roaming settings and not from the backup settings. Okay. The question was, is there a way to do that remotely from another system? Right now, the way that we're doing this is via PowerShell scripts. It's possible that we're still trying to figure out what we're going to do with our ADMX and DCM that'll be released around our RTM timeframe. Could be that we provide some functionality there. But right now, this is the only way. No. I just did that out of habit. I apologize. No, that does not need to be elevated. The only ones that do is when you, well, I'll show you a few that do have to be, but that one, that specific one does not. Okay, so that was my extremely long demo on UEV 2.1, what's new. Let's talk about now some more interesting things around UEV and VDI. So how many of you have VDI in your environments? Excellent. So what we're going to talk about first is we're going to talk about planning, how to plan to make this happen appropriately. We're going to talk about some new things that we integrated as well during that time. We are going to talk about how to integrate UEV into your golden image, and then we're going to show a demo putting it all together and doing it from a UEV image that, a VDI and a VM that doesn't have UEV in it, that's been basically my master image that's ready for me to put UEV in it. We'll talk about that as we get closer. So the first thing is, I showed you what the setting storage path is. That's really the secret sauce to making all of this work, is a setting storage path. You can either use your AD home directory to make that work, or you can use any SMB share. There are no special requirements for this. Plan for about 20 megabytes. And that includes all of your custom applications. It's about 10 megabytes at the very back of the envelope per user for the default default templates that we provide you, including all the backup. And then it's about another 10 megabytes is what you're going to need. So if you have 10,000 users across 10,000 devices, you go out and you purchase a terabyte drive and you're good. That's all you need. Pretty simple. Make sure that your clocks are synchronized. That's the only gotcha that we sometimes have in this state. How many of you have DFS? That's what I thought, most of you. Okay, before, one of the big gotchas with UEV was that we went off and we said, okay, in 1.0, because of some issues with how we did things, we did not support DFS-R. In 2.0 and 2.1, we solved those things with the client-side cache and with eventual consistency model. And we fixed a bug in 2.1 in a configuration item where before, if we tried to ping a DFS server, we always returned back null. We always returned back a failure. So we were never able to use a straight DFS and server as a setting storage location path. We now have a configuration item in our configuration that says, hey, you know what? I am using DFS. And when you use that, we no longer ping. We just assume you're always on. We do have some other things to make that fail safe and not to take up too much of your bandwidth. We support two different modes of operation for DFS. The first one is DFS-N, single targeting. The second one is DFS-R, backup only or turned off. And how this works is like, so if you have Sam, who works in London, and he only works in London, then you're fine. Everything works fine. If you have Sam, and he travels a lot with a laptop, let's say he goes to Tokyo a lot, that's also fine because he's going to use sync method equals sync provider, and his settings will go with him. As he makes changes, they'll go across, back across, or else if he doesn't have a connection, it's fine. Now, if you have Sam that has to set up a new computer in Tokyo, this is where you run into some interesting scenarios. Because if Sam is still based out of London, he's going to be designated to go back to the London DFS. And so because of that, you might get some latency for him the very first time in caching down his bits. But eventually, it'll become fast. The second time he logs on, we'll say, oh, well, this looks like it's there and it's correct, so we're not going to try and download anything. We'll do the trickle down. It should be fine across bandwidth, but that's the only place that you have to work for. For many and most of your users, it'll be fine. For the ones that occasionally travel and have to reset up a new box, those will be the ones you'll have to have special consideration for. The second type of DFS that we support is multi-targeted namespace with DFS-R replicated between sites. Now, what that looks like is something like this. Same sort of model, only you have DFSR going between sites on a 24-hour, whatever it is that you're going to replicate between your sites, between your London and Tokyo offices. Now, what happens if you're Sam again, or if you always are in the same site, same thing, no problem. If you are going to be a user with a laptop that travels different sites, again, no problem. Let's say that you have to go to London now, and you're going to do the same thing. You're going to start up a brand new device. Now, what happens in this situation is actually pretty cool. Sam will point to the replicated server, so he'll be actually very fast. He'll get the settings, just as if he were working out of London. There shouldn't be any latency there. The only thing that could happen is if Sam beats his settings to Tokyo, then they could be, at most, let's say it's a 24-hour synchronization. So he could be, maybe a couple hours out. So he'll pull down the latent settings, and as they get replicated across, then he'll get the new settings. That's the worst thing that we think could happen. The next thing that you should be aware of is, after you figure out how you're going to set up your setting storage location, this is how you lock it down. I'm going to put this into the appendix slide because we're running a little short. But basically, you just set it up like this. You give everyone permission, everyone no permissions, set up a security group with permissions to the share, NTFS permissions, again, give everyone creator owner full rights, and then security owners list folder. I'll let you read it. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but in my demo, we had a settings packages hidden folder, as well as the backup folders were also hidden. Therefore, if you put this into your home drive, if you set your home drive, the user will only know it's there if he sees or looks for the hidden folders. It's a little bit of obscurity, security through obscurity, but it also sort of works. You'll notice that this is our supported matrix. We support Windows 7, 2008 R2 server, 8 and 8.1, including all the updates, and Windows Server 2012 and R2. Now, why do we support server? Isn't this a client application? Well, if you remember, we support remote apps. And so you need the server side to be able to support the remote apps, because those are streamed off of Win2K8 R2 or Win2K12 in R2. We support .NET Framework 4 and higher with this release. That's okay because if you're using Windows 8, it already comes with it, and pretty much it's prolific around for 4.0 because it went out on WooMoo and it's up on WSIS. And hopefully, if you have at least one application that's using it in your client, then you've already got it. This topic is very interesting and very important to understand. In 2.0, we started thinking about a concept called a sync provider, which is our default. And it's very important to understand when to use sync method equals sync provider and when to use sync method equals none. And it's pretty simple. If you can guarantee, or if you have VDI scenarios, or your laptops, or your machines, or your devices are 100% connected, and they have a really fast connection, then use VDI. Use sync method equals none. If, on the other hand, your machines will ever be disconnected, or if you think that you're going to have a physical box, use the sync method equals sync provider, which is the default. The difference is that the sync method equals sync provider has that local cache that we talked about, whereas the none automatically redirects directly to the server. And the other thing about it is that it will hold off your logon if you have sync method equals none, because we assume that you have a really fast connection and that you're always connected. So if you do that, let's say I occasionally have people come and tell me, Aaron, you know what? I tried in my POC this really slow connection, and UEV blocked me for 20 minutes. I couldn't log in for 20 minutes. And I just smile and say, well, what was your sync method? And inevitably, it's none. And inevitably, when they go try the sync method equals sync provider, it works great. And why is that? The reason why is because the sync method sync provider will not hold off the download. It will hold off the log on time for 2 seconds. 2 seconds. And then it starts trickling down all of your settings. And then the next time you log on, you'll have everything there and ready to go. Or the next time when you start your app or your desktop background is an asynchronous setting. So what happens in that case is that as it's one, the moment that it's downloaded, it automatically appears. So very cool. Now, the other thing about None is that it doesn't use the heartbeat. So again, because we're assuming you're always connected, you're really close, you're not going to need it. Now, question that we get is, which profile should I choose? We recommend, UEV is not a profile replacement. It is an addition on top of profile. So you have to have a profile. We recommend that you use a local profile or a mandatory profile. Or you can also use a default profile. That's okay too. If you're going to replace RUP or if you're trying to use UEV and RUP together, you can get yourself into an indeterministic state, and that's not always good. So our recommendation is that you use UEV and RUP for a short time. You log on. Once you get logged on, that'll get all of your operating system settings. It'll get all of your Windows settings. And then you just need to go and execute the apps, or enough of your apps for each user, so that way they can get their settings on time on the central setting storage location path. We know this is not a very good story. We're thinking about how to make this better in the future, but it is what it is today. All right. Okay, so that's planning for UEV. Now we're going to talk about actually doing it. Now, there are many ways that you can go and push out or deploy UEV to your clients. We have EXEs and MSIs, we have a configuration manager, config pack, we have an ADMX template which hooks into group policy. You can bake it into your golden image, you can script it in, or some other way. Today, right now, we're going to talk about using an agent, installing the agent via MSI or EXE, and baking that into our golden image for our VDI case. Note, the system will require a reboot. I will talk about how to make that a little bit better in a second. So, there's the second. So if you notice, I'm starting to get a lot of feedback about, Aaron, you guys just released your first hotfix, and I don't want to make my data center take 2 reboots. One is bad enough, but 2? Come on, you're kidding me. So we published this no restart, meaning that you can defer the restart if you get a return code of 3010 until you're ready to take it. Now, that means that if you want to install UEV 2.0 plus a hotfix and then take a reboot, you can using the slash no restart because it won't force you to do it. But in order for you to have UEV in a good state, you have to take the reboot before you can use PowerShell scripts, before UEV will be usable. We have a driver that has to be loaded, and we have to hook into those OS. So to hook into the OS is the real reason why we have to take the reboot or log on and log off. So if you are using VDI deployment, then all you need to do is use slash quiet and sync method equals none. My demo is going to do a few extra things, but basically that's all that you need if you want to do minimal. So what will we control in a VDI scenario? We'll do Windows Store apps. You have to go and turn on or off the ones you want via what we call the Windows 8 app list. And I showed you what that looked like from the IW perspective. You can also turn those on and off via PowerShell as well. You don't need a template for those. The developer decides what settings will roam for Windows Store apps at the time that he develops the app. Classic apps, you as an IT pro get control over what gets roamed with those. And then the default apps, default templates, we just give those to you. Custom templates, we're not really going to go over today, like I said, but you can register those via Posh. When you register templates, you register them globally for the entire machine. So you do need to have the dash computer, which means you have to have elevated rights in order to install and register a template. So summarizing the best practices then. Use sync method equals none when you're in a VDI scenario. Bake in all of your templates into the master image. That's okay. That's good. You can also set up a templates catalog path in your VDI image as well. So that way, if you happen to have template updates and you want to get to updating your master image later, then those will get automatically picked up. But it will slow down just a tad, maybe a few hundred milliseconds to download, depending on how fast your connection is. Use mandatory profiles, actually, when you're talking about using mandatory profiles is the best thing to do, because what happens is that you get to set up, you can use just like a local profile, default profile, and then change that into a mandatory profile, and that'll give you a really quick log on for your VDI. When you use UEV with that, that's fine. Mandatory profile basically means that when you change, the user will always get the same settings when he logs onto his box, but it's super fast because there's no diff between local and central. And also because it's stored locally, the way that they did it was super fast. So most of our customers are using, in their VDI states, are using mandatory profiles. Now in 2.0, UEV went off and said, oh, that's kind of cool. So let's go and see if we can defer the UEV settings until after the mandatory profile is put down, and then we'll put down the UEV settings in a VDI scenario. And we do that, and it works super well, because then your users, if they don't, you can control what the user can see in the VDI, and they still have the flexibility of changing things post profile load, and as they move through, and then those settings will be maintained and persisted every time they go into the non-persistent pool and be downloaded. And some of the POSH commandlets need computer, and oh, there is one other trick that I didn't put in here. If you're using ATV, how many of you are using ATV with, excellent, this is for you. ATV just released a hotfix 4, and in their hotfix 4, we released a template for UEV, which enables you to take the ATV published settings and roam them between users. That's one of the bottlenecks with logging in with ATV, is I need to go and see what I'm entitled to versus what's on the central server, and that takes some time to pull down the things for the first time. What UEV does is that it pulls down those application publishing settings, and then ATV comes in after that, looks to see what the user is entitled to and what not entitled to, and then does a really quick diff and entitlement on the things, on the changes, and then the next time when he logs in, he's up to date. So what that does is that really improves your logon times for your VDI non-persistent session pools. If you go out to the ATV tech docs for 5.0, look in the performance guide, we have lots of good information there for how to do that and how to make that work. Shameless plug, of course. Now, let's see how this actually works. So I'm going to, before I show you, I'm just going to quickly roll back my 8.1. So I'm repurposing my 8.1 VM now to be in a state where you can see I have my VDI master, and my VDI master contains UEV and totally configured, and it is exactly the VDI persistent, non-persistent VM that I was using. But I want to show you how you can do it yourself. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back to our 8.1 image. Okay. Make sure I'm in the right spot here. So I'm just going to start my demo. So what I'm doing is I'm installing, in a scripted manner, my agent. You can actually have the slash quiet if you want to totally script it and totally make it fine. I decided to make it easier for us to see and go through the process. I'm using the no restart switch, right, which means I'm not going to be forced to reboot until I want to. This is my setting storage path, which I've configured at this at the setting. And here's my template path. And I'm saying CIP enabled, which means please send Microsoft feedback so we can make UEV better.
So I'm going to say next, accept the license terms. I'm going to opt into the process. Now here, this is new for 2.1. We wanted to give you guys some help in understanding what is actually needed when you go off and do your lab deployments. We know that you're not going to use this when you go and deploy, but this helps the IT pro get an idea for what is it that we think that are your bare minimum things you should put into your installation. So we have none for our sync method, right? And then we have username. This is my setting storage path, and this is my catalog path. Catalog path is optional. Setting storage path is not. This will help you to get into that, get out of that state where if you think that you've got UEV out, but it's not behaving properly, and you get a lot of error messages in your event log, this will help. This helps you to remember, oh yeah, I've got to do that from the very beginning. So now we do an install. Instead of making you wait for the install, I've actually got, it only takes about maybe a minute or two, but I've got it all staged right here so that we don't have to wait at all. This guy comes back. And so now what's happened is that we've taken the install, I've taken the reboot, and now what I'm going to teach you is something that you might not be familiar with. How many of you are familiar with UEV configuration files? One, two, three, four, a couple. So a handful of people. A UEV configuration file is a way for you to take a set of configuration settings and through PowerShell script be able to say, okay, I'm going to take this file and import the file, and this is all my configuration settings. So one of the things, I don't know if you noticed, but we have this way for you to go and brand your own website and your own logic inside the company settings center. And so this is a place for you to go and put an HTML site. You can put whatever text you want here. Then we have our storage path, which we already put in our setup. So this is kind of erroneous, but that's fine. And we have sync method equals true. And so now we say, okay, this is all set and ready to go. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you, these are all the commandlets that we have. Everything that we do in our UI, everything we do in our config, inside of our config pack, in our ADMX templates, everything goes through those posh commandlets. So we're giving to you, we're doing everything on our side that we give to you that you can also automate if you find that you need to do something. Okay, so you'll notice that we don't have the contact IT field in here. So now what we're going to do is we're going to import our configuration settings. And now I'm going to go and I just imported that file that we had, and voila, it's now there. I don't have to type. You saw how I'm not such a great posh typer. So this actually helps me do it once and put everything in once. For me, I do. I want my. So the question was, do I want my sync provider enabled? Right? And the answer is yes. I do want my sync method to be true. I do not want my sync method to be sync provider, though. Good catch. I'll change that after. But you definitely. I think I probably have a bug in my notepad. But yeah, you definitely want that to be true. I'm not going to worry about that. Good catch. Thank you. If I had a shirt, I'd give you one. That was a good catch. Okay. So now we're going to go through, and the next step is to take our templates, and we're going to bake them into the image. So you'll notice that we don't have the app vpublish settings template installed. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to register that template, bake it into my image. And now you'll notice that now I do have it installed. See? So it's enabled equals true, and it's all ready. So now I am all set now to go and put my machine, my VDI into, or my VM into audit mode, push it out to my clients, and I'm all set. So how long did that take? I said it was going to take less than 20 minutes. Was I about right? I think so. Maybe 5 minutes to do it. 2 minutes to install, a few minutes to configure it. You can update the text file. Very simple. Very easy to do. Very powerful for your users. Simple for you to push out. Lots of bang for them. All right. And so that is how you do it in VDI. Kind of simple. So, wait, there's more. I'm not a sales guy. So, now that you have it out there, let's talk about how do I manage my physical devices. For VDI, it's pretty simple. If I ever want to add a new template to my master image, I just go and add it to my master image. If I need to go and if I have my template catalog path, I just dump or remove. I either add to or remove from the templates in my catalog path that we've set up. But what about your physical boxes? What can you do there? We have a few different ways to make this work. Today I'm going to talk about, for the last remaining time that I have, I'm going to talk about Configuration Manager. This is really cool. How many of you use Configuration Manager? Okay. How many of you use Group Policy? About the same people. That does not surprise me. How many of you use something else? A couple. Okay. Excellent. Well, hopefully after this week, you'll be using Configuration Manager or Group Policy. Configuration Manager is really cool. We worked with the Configuration Manager team to create what's called a configuration pack. And the configuration pack is available for if you have Configuration Manager 2012 or above. And what we do is we create what's called a baseline. Now, a baseline is applicable to devices across your environment. So you can set up a baseline, push the baseline out, and then that baseline will be honored in terms of configuration and templates. The really hard thing about baselines typically is that if you have a complex baseline, you can spend hours and hours writing the PowerShell script, writing the behind the scenes scripting for this. I'll show you in my demo some of the, there's like 1,000 lines of script that we had to generate for this. But we make it really simple for you. Why? Because it's all data driven. I'll show you in a second. It's just basically going and taking an XML file, updating attributes and elements inside of the file, and then you running that through a PowerShell script that we have, which will then output a cab. You then import the cab into your configuration manager, and the configuration manager doesn't have to be on your CM to box. Mine just is for ease of demoing this today. You have it on any box where you have configuration manager installed. Then, let's say that a month from now you say, oh, actually, this set of devices need to change how they're set, or you need to add something. All you need to do is go back and update the XML file, recreate a cab, re-import the cab. That will then update, add, and remove any changes that you made in the cab automatically. It's super cool. What do we do inside the configuration pack? We handle all the settings. All the settings that you saw inside of get UEV configuration, we will handle those. We'll handle those. We have ADMX templates, and let me explain what the difference is between ADMX templates and DCM. DCM is a configuration pack if I switch. ADMX templates will handle the configuration settings and will handle any inbox or default templates that we ship out of box or ship with the product. If you wanted to go do custom templates, you'll have to go and generate your own ADMX for any custom templates. It's kind of painful. If you want to have a better experience, come over and use SCCM baselines to manage through and use those, because we'll handle and create that baseline for you for all your templates, custom or otherwise. Baseline equals self-heal. Someone tries and change policy, every periodic heartbeat, we'll go back and you'll put that back into the right spot. We'll talk about docs. They are not online yet. They're shipped with the configuration pack. I'm hoping to change that for RTM. So this is what you do from a high level. From a high level, what you do is you install the the EXE, you download our package, you install it, you create the config baseline cab using the XML files that we talked about, you import them, then you deploy. Where I'm going to take some time right now and talk about the gotchas and the caveats and what to do for the creating the baselines. So to create a baseline config, you want to modify, you're going to copy the default one that we give, which is a template, so you don't have to hand do it. And then you're going to modify certain sections. You want to modify the configuration section. We also have a Windows Store application section. That one you're going to want to add elements to and remove from based on your individual side-loaded apps or the individual Windows 8 apps that we don't ship inbox. Then you'll use this EXE to generate the baseline.cab. This is a really crucial slide. If you're asleep, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. This is a crucial slide. So if you're using ADMX or if you want to set things via policy, this is our order of precedence. So we look first in user-targeted group policy. If nothing is set there, we look at computer-targeted group policy. Then, if you're a configuration manager, POSH, WMI, we will then look in this user-targeted, and then finally, for any baseline, we look in the computer-targeted. Okay? Configuration manager and POSH, right here. So if you have ADMX templates out there that are writing to policy, if you have things that write to policy, that will supersede the configuration items from this from the lower set. Super critical. So because of that, then inside of your DCM, we write to that lower blue section. You can have a desired state of either unmanaged, clear, or set. Unmanaged basically means ignore, right? We're just let whatever is there be there. Clear means let's take it back to a default setting. Set means I'm going to explicitly set the value to X, whatever it is that you want to set it to. Inside of the configuration setting section, please, 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 only modify the desired state attribute. If you try and do the name or the element, we won't know how to process that. We look for specific names. And you probably don't need to either. The second place that you can configure inside of your configuration cab is the Windows 8 computer policy or Windows 8 computer user policy. Again, user and computer should be pretty self-evident. What you have to do here is you go and you look for the package family ID for the package that you want to enable on a box. And then you set the desired state to, again, enabled, disabled, or cleared. Cleared will put everything back to a default state. Disabled means you may not pass. You may not. Disabled means you're not going to roam the setting. And enabled means please enable this. And if you put it into the computer policy, then it will always enable it. The user won't be able to change that policy setting. In this case, you have to add elements because we don't know what your package IDs are. And remember, user policy trumps computer policy. Computer users typically won't be able to change computer policy, though. And I think I've nailed that one down. So creating the template baseline cab is very similar. You're going to have an XML file. You're going to create a temporary place to put all of your templates. Then you're going to populate the templates that you want to deploy, default inbox, custom templates, or community templates, and then you're going to execute a command. That's pretty much all there is to it. Excuse me. All right. Let's see if we can do this. So I have here a configuration manager box. And I basically staged it so that way it has our configuration manager pack installed already. You'll notice, one of the key things to notice is that it's in program files x86. Our default installation for our agent, however, is in native, so it's not in WoW. So the fact that this is in WoW, you just have to know to go there and search for it a little bit. It's kind of pokey around a little bit. And you'll notice that we have this agent configuration XML, and we also have this user help. So this user help is super important. I have it here. It basically, the table of contents takes you through in great detail exactly what I'm going to do and has some tips, additional tips and tricks that I don't have time today to take you through. And it's right there in the root of the installation. Now, let's go forward. I already did that. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to copy this XML file, the UEV baseline, the config pack. I'm going to copy that file into a global spot, just a place, so that way I don't override the default template in program files. You can't write to program files unless you have admin rights. Just copy it off someplace visible to everybody. You'll notice that it actually copied one file. Awesome. And I renamed it. I'm going to rename it right now to be something more easy to understand in Grok, UEV policy. And now I'm going to open it up to kind of look at it over and see it. So that is big. Is that readable? I'm going to, that's a little too big. Move it down just slightly here. There we go, that's better. Okay, so what I'm going to look for is any place that I've said set. So you'll notice that I've set my storage path to be something. I've set my, this is my contact IT URL, contact IT description. So I've set a couple of things that I want to do. And then down here, you'll notice I did that all under computer policy, so that way it's the default. The user can't change that unless he's elevated. And I also have all of my Windows 8 packages that I've included here. I've also added the immersive control panel as a computer policy, so that way you can see that you actually can do that. And it's really simple. You just say desired state equals enabled. And this is the package ID that we talked about. You just go and grab the package ID using the posh commandlet that I showed you earlier. And now I'm going to go and create the policy. So I use, here's my generator. So I have the posh generator. My site corresponds back to my CM site. Here's my cab file. This is my output that I want. Here's my configuration file for input. And that's all that there is. Looks like I had an error. So the next step that you do is that you would typically, because I only have 2 minutes left, I'm going to show what this looks like in CS. I actually have the cabs already pre-staged as well. So here's, I'm copying off my templates. I now robocopy them. I added my app publish date so I have everything in one spot. And so you can see these are just the templates that I have. And now I'm going to generate my template.cab. Again, oh, am I not elevated? Oh, I'm not elevated. Okay, so typically it's that elevated versus not elevated thing. It got me again. But it's really simple. Then what you're going to do, let's just pretend that this worked. Again, I only have a couple of minutes left. So now what I'm going to do is I actually have these saved off. DC1. There we go. So I actually have them stored off here, so I'm going to go and grab them. You always have a backup plan, right? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to come into my baseline, and I'm going to say import configuration data, and I'm going to add publisher, yes, I just didn't sign it. And so now I'm going to grab my templates as well. And now I say next. And so you'll see that I have a lot of templates here. And this is all the templates that I just basically did. It's really simple. If I was elevated, it'd actually work. And you'll see that this just simply gets imported in. Or not. try that one more time. So while this is going on, we basically have 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 seconds left. I didn't leave any time for questions, but I will be here if you want to stick around and ask me some more questions. We have what's next. Make sure you, just in a summary, what I want you to do is go home and download and play with the UEV 2.1 beta. We love your feedback. Give us bugs. Give us input. Give us data. We talked about what's new. We talked about UEV and VDI. Hopefully you found it to be easy and good and powerful and valuable for your customers. We also showed you how you could use SCCM or Configuration Manager to automate and manage the entire lifecycle. Here are some resources. We have a forum, gallery, the admin guide, and MVPs. I'm always looking for MVPs if you're interested. Find me later. Tomorrow I'll be in the Windows Management booth. I'll also be here. Related content. Here's our track resources. And please evaluate me to win a prize. Thank you very much for your time.